used to think leadership lived in boardrooms, not locker rooms, until I became a dad. That's when I learned the hardest and the holiest form of leadership happens at home, in the in-between moments that never make a highlight reel. This training is about trading worry for presence, pressure for patience, and performance for purpose. We will reframe parenting from something to manage into a mission to model. Attention over accumulation, consistency over complexity, and love that can't be outsourced or recreated with AI. If we trust that future solutions will emerge, we can stop fixating on tomorrow's what ifs and I will be happy wins, and pour our best energy into the only window our children actually experience, the now, shortening that distance between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. The first lesson and advice I wish I would have received as a parent, as I'm coming to the end of the younger age child as a parent, you never stop being a parent, by the way, is the equation that parenting equals leadership. Leadership, as I mentioned, in the boardrooms and the locker rooms is temporary. Leadership, as I mentioned, at home is eternal. It's infinite. If we let the interference and the worry about the future steal today's presence, we'll miss the only window our children actually experience, the now. So many fathers obsess over college costs and career paths. They snap at our 7-year-old children during bedtime, trading connection for control and missing the moments that actually shape their character. Strategic foresight is useful, but paralyzing anxiety blocks the decision that builds trust. Believe that the future solutions will emerge because they already exist. We need to focus in on shortening the distance of resistance between we, us, and our children, and all of us, and our infinite source of information, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration. Let this belief free us to act with intention today, to do, say, think, feel, and believe. To not be an ignorant, arrogant person basing our decisions and our advice off of fear. Continue to name fears that interfere and steal the present. Reframe them. Execute intentionally on them. Adjust what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. And create a device-free connection block with all of our children every night. Make sure we capture the memories, but live them first. Make sure we capture our memories, but we must live them first. Capturing them is not living them. Living them is I am. Capturing them is this is what I want people to think I am. Another piece of advice. Presence beats presence. Kids remember our attention, not our purchases. Quality time compounds like interest. The rule of 17 works far beyond our finance. A minimum amount of time every day, whether it's on the floor, will outperform a trunk full of toys every single time. Presence will create the highest ROI in identity and security, in ability and capability of diminishing, dissolving, and disappearing the interference that our children put between them and their potential. Put your phone, put their phone in another room. Set a minimum amount of time of undistracted kids' choice block. Quote unquote, it's the kids' choice time. A minimum amount of time, 7 days a week, undistracted. Remember, within the context of our first lesson, parenting is leadership. Presence is important. Number one, presence beats our present that we give. The second lesson or advice I wish I would have received: you can't outsource love. You can't outsource love. I see it so many times today. We're so conditioned to have our VAs and our outsourced and our AIs and every single thing that we can replace capability with. Well, one capability that is not replaceable is love. Our mentors, our coaches, our teachers will add value, but our voice becomes their self-talk. Our voice is what they catch, not what we teach. Our actions is what they catch, not what we teach. My mom taught me through what I caught. I still, till the day my mom passed, didn't listen to my mom, but I watched her. And I caught all of the encouragement in the tough moments. It wasn't the teachers and coaches and mentors. It was my mom that helped me catch the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. We can delegate our logistics, but delegation belonging is not. Delegation will separate us, will create interference from. So make sure that the visiting time is not delegated, the presence time is not delegated, only the logistics. Make sure that we record and capture, as I mentioned, the "I am proud of you because," "I love you because," "I always have your back because" messages that they can replay, or you tell them in whatever capacity you can each and every day that "I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back." You cannot outsource love or replace it as a parent. Third lesson: patience is the real superpower of parenting. Patience is the real superpower of parenting. Markets and children both grow in seasons, not seconds. Things grow in seasons, not seconds. Correcting reading struggles that a child may have gently over weeks, months, and years will build a comfortability and a confidence. Rushing a child to learn, to play, to live, will break it. Patience signals confidence and safety, not fear. Patience signals and accelerates your child's growth. Replace the words like "hurry up," "can you come here," with "take your time." "I got you. I'm with you. Let's do this." "Take your time" is a powerful piece of advice I wish I would have received of being a parent, because patience is the real superpower. The fourth lesson is one I teach but wish I would have utilized as a parent, and it's consistency creates safety. Notice how so many of the pieces of advice evolve around this idea of being ignorant, arrogant as a parent. And what do I mean by that is that there's two types of people. There's humble people that don't know what they don't know, but let you know what they don't know. So those people are humble, ignorant people. And then there's those arrogant, ignorant people, these people that pretend like they know what they don't know. And they will go ahead and create fear, will attack you, or at least create fear as well. So the two types of people, the ignorant, humble people and the ignorant, arrogant people, in the ignorant, arrogant people, there's two types of people as well. There's the obvious and the non-obvious. The obvious ignorant, arrogant people are the ones that say stupid shit to you, right? They, "Oh, you stole gratitude. Oh, that's nice. You're an idiot." They call you names. They separate us. But they're obvious. They protect you, promote you, love, and perfect you, because anyone that listens to them, you want one in your spheres of influence and your frequency in your neighborhood. But the most dangerous in the context of creating safety are parents. people we love the most. Because as a parent, this advice that consistent creates safety and safety by itself, it allows us to be honest and allow our child to grow because we are not projecting our ignorant arrogance advice based out of fear on our children. See, the problem with being a parent is you are more afraid for your child than they are for themselves. So the advice that you give your child, the advice you give your child is based out of fear. When you give advice that's based out of ignorance and fear, they are not feeling safe. So when you tell your kid, go to college, take this test, you got to do this. No, you don't. Our job is to ask questions and give suggestions, not give advice based off of we are afraid something bad's going to, don't start that business, you're going to lose all your money, something bad. Our job is to ask, what is your timing and risk tolerance? How can I be of service or value to help you? Have you thought about this? Have you read this book? Have you talked to this person? These are the things that we're supposed to do to create safety, not to cause fear. Consistency will create safety. Being a consistent parent every day by paying attention to your child and giving them intention by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in a trajectory, a divine direction of where you think they want to be. Predictable boundaries will reduce anxiety and drama. The same bedtime, the unwinding routine yields smoother mornings, as you know, is a big part of my life, making sleep my number one non-negotiables as well as my child's. Being the same parent on Monday morning as you are on Sunday night. Be that ignorant, humble parent. Try to be as consistent for them so they can have the consistent, persistent pursuit without interfering with anxiety, fear, worry, anger, depression. Go ahead and choose one boundary and enforce it. And enforce it in a kind manner in the exact same way for 30 straight days. I would suggest starting with gratitude by asking people, asking your children to say thank you before they go to bed and when they wake up. Consistency will clear the interference and create safety, confidence, and comfortability in our children's lives, as well as our elderly parents. The fifth lesson in parenting advice I wish I would have received, model it, don't preach it. Man, I'm a great preacher. Thought I was a great teacher. Thought I was a great parent. I wish I was a great modeler. Children will watch us. They will catch us. If we preach, they will turn us off. Earlier, Julie talked about the ability and frustration she has of what I call waiters, right? There's these listeners out there, the interrupters, they interrupt you. Then you have these waiters, people who wait to tell you what they think. And then there's those people that model it, not preach it. Children will copy our habits, not your lectures. Reading parents raise readers more than rule-making parents. Rule-making parents can actually create rule-breaking children. Be a reader, not a rule-maker. Your standards become their ceiling. It's like a meaning of their past. The meaning of our past is what limits our future through the idea that it limits our self-image, and so does our standards. So allow the expansive nature of our standards, our expectations, to be managed within the context of modeling for them the possibilities, probabilities, and perspectives in their lives. Utilize visible habits like gratitude and reading and selling and AI and prayer and breath work daily with them new nearby. My children know now, and I wish they would have knew, so I didn't have this advice then, what my non-negotiables are every day. I modeled it. Minimum of 7 hours of my sleep, including an unwinding routine. A minimum of an hour a day on my health. A minimum amount of time, an hour a day with my family and relatives. A minimum amount of time on my finance. Every day, 7 days a week. a minimum of a time on my feet, on the study of relativity and the study of time, giving them tools to be gracious, forgiving, accountable, and inspired. Model it, don't preach it. The sixth piece of advice I have for being a parent is failure is a gift, only if you frame it right. You know, I have the term dummy tax. It's a way that I frame failure. It becomes an investment in myself, protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting them from struggle steals their resilience. This is how we become stronger. We have to let them know without your body, there would be no pain and no struggle, but you were given a body and it's here to learn lessons. And the way that you learn lessons is through mistakes. Look at my hat. I am made from mistakes. It is through these mistakes that we will remind and remember and recollect every lesson that there ever was. But we have to realize, even in the context of made from mistakes, that we, in that context, will forget every lesson we've ever learned. So we're given a body, and the body causes struggle and pain. And the way we get rid of struggle and pain is within every struggle and every pain is a solution. And there's a lapse of time between the struggle and the pain that the body causes and that solution. That lapse of time resolves us in a resolution, a resolution. And it's the lessons and the mistakes that have come from those mistakes that allows us to grow, learn, expand, to get to where we want to be or better, under the context of what I have, the 1,000 rule training, which I can send to all of you, where the 1,000 steps to get to where you want to be. Inherent is this failure is the gift, it's the fuel, it's the fire, if you frame it right. Letting them lose, not giving participation trophies, letting them lose and then reflecting, learning, will build grit and it will build humility. Pain without the shame becomes wisdom. Pain without the blame become wisdom. Pain without the justification becomes wisdom. You are given a body. It creates struggle and pain. The resolution is inside that struggle and pain that already exists, and it's just a lapse of time before you are aware of it. You will remind, remember, and recollect it and forget it at any time. Pain without shame, blame, and justification will become wisdom. You are made from your mistakes. After a setback, ask your child, what did you do to be responsible? What did you do to attract this? What did you do to participate in this perception? And what did you learn from it? And what is our next step? And how can I be of service or value with that next step? You're made from mistakes. Failure is a gift if you frame it right. The seventh lesson and advice I wish I would have received is to be a parent is your marriage is the biggest part of parenting. Your marriage, if you are still married, is the biggest part, so don't become unmarried. How you treat your partner, and if you don't have one, how you treat others that are relative to you, will train your children how to love and resolve conflict. It is the number one thing I got right unconsciously for the majority of my marriage. Luckily, I didn't have many children when they weren't very old in the first 7 years. I would say you're married or have three different marriages in new life. I'm lucky it's been the same person only because of her grace and probably a bad eyesight like the other Julie. Is it? Maybe it's common that Julie's have bad eyesight if they think we're beautiful. Handsome, I think she even said. That's amazing. Have respectful disagreements with others. Model your emotional regulation. Show them by your behavior how you respond to your reaction to fear, because they are very afraid just like you. And the ego reacts to that fear with a need to be right, a need to be offended, the need to be angry, upset, anxious, frustrated, angry, depressed, and worried. So many suicides with children because there's no emotional regulation of teaching the response to that reaction. Teach them free will in your marriage, the free will to stop when you're in a disagreement with your spouse or partner. Stop, no matter what is coming through your head. Just the other day, I teach stop, drop, and roll for years. I teach the response, the reaction to fear for years. And just the other day, I got into an argument with my wife of 28 years. I've been married longer than I've been doing the Free Friday trainings. And I said one thing, reacting to my fear of separation, because I was leaving for a week. I said one thing from the reaction, utilizing the normal response of going over my fear, under my fear, resisting my fear, trying to lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, and deny my fear. And while I was projecting that insecurity, my separation anxiety of leaving my love of my life for a week because I had such a great vacation with her, and I responded with an attack. And as I was responding, I told myself, stop. And then I thought of another attack, because my attack, my force, created the counterforce equal to or greater than the force that I created. And as I elevated my anxiety because of her response, I just said a second dumbass thing, a new counterforce to her counterforce that created even more negative interference and force, accelerating me in the wrong direction, not the divine one in which I had planned during the day with my what, the who, the how, the now, and apply in my walk, which then created that counterforce, even a greater counterforce. And while in my head listening to her, all I was saying now was stop, 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 stop. Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Please don't respond. Please do not respond to that reaction to fear. Please. And I did. I did. I stopped. I breathed, and she continued to counterforce me, triggering me. You know, one thing about spouses you'll know is they know how to press your buttons. You know why? Because they installed them. You have done the same to your children. Make sure you know your children watch you. They don't listen to you, especially how you interact with the people you love the most. Give them a great example how to mimic that, because your marriage, your relationship with your significant relatives, I promise you, will model the emotional regulation of the response, the reaction to fear. If you can stop, drop, and roll, they will as well. Unity at the top stabilizes everything above. Don't we see that today in our society? Unity at the top stabilizes everything below. Remind, remember, and recollect that with your source who is above us all. Do check-ins and appreciation and issues and plan, but in your marriage, never in front of your children. The eighth piece of advice I wish I would have gotten on parenting is every child is different. I believe every person is different, so it's obvious that every child is different. I believe that this is the solution here in the United States of America. So many people think their children are equal. They think that we are equal. I believe in equal opportunity. I don't believe anybody's equal to me or anybody else. I don't think we're the same. I definitely don't think that any of my children are the same. They got different fingerprints at the very least. What if we could teach people to appreciate our differences, and no better thing to do than appreciate your children's differences? My children are so different, sometimes I think my wife cheated on me. I swear to God. Well, they're so good looking, I often think so too. It's one of the insecurities that I have to stop, drop, and roll, because they're so beautiful. They're so different. I'll give you an example. My oldest child, who I could have 40 of, she's amazing, and I'm blessed that she works with me. She's probably on this training early in the morning. At 26 years old, she's kind of like Nick. I was going to Puerto Rico to speak, and I invited my family to come with me. And my oldest, who works with me and was going to help me with the activity I get paid for while I'm in Puerto Rico on this beautiful vacation with my family, she calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, It's $150 extra to fly direct from New York to Puerto Rico. Is that okay? I laughed. Why do you even call me? You're just such a kind, generous, conscientious person. You're amazing inside and out. And, oh my gosh, whoever marries you will be so lucky. And then no more than 10 minutes later, my youngest daughter calls, who also is going to come to Puerto Rico. Dad, it's only $1,200 more to fly first class. And I'm thinking every kid is different. I'm also thinking I pity the fool that marries this girl. But just joking, she's amazing as well, just more expensive. The motivator for a spirited child might overwhelm a sensitive one. Sibling rivalries and the differences that exist. And if we're not teaching our children to appreciate the differences of them and their siblings and others, they will not appreciate the differences when they get out into the workforce, into the political force, into the religious force, into the collective neighborhoods of frequencies of people. SNA will save our country, the United States of America. Teach our children to appreciate the differences between them and their siblings and others. Tailor leadership at home like strategy and business. Make sure that we know the skills and the knowledge of each and every subject, topic, or expertise that there is, and know that the skills and knowledge that they have are just a basement according and aligned with those skills and knowledge and what's doing well, what's stable, and we think is doing well. But it is the delta that I'm concerned about, the desire that will create that delta. Children love encouragement. Use it. Also be honest and annoying and repetitive to make sure they know that although you may love playing basketball, and there is always a chance you could play in the NBA, you're 5'4" and you're not as strong, as fast, and as coordinated as an NBA player. You could pursue your love of it and create a huge delta, even a greater delta than some of the NBA stars whose skills and knowledge basements are so high that in between your basement and delta, you can't even reach their basement. But if you realistically want to pursue that, it's beautiful. But everybody's different. Everybody's basements are different according to the subject matter, topic, and expertise. If I was as good at basketball as I am at sales, I would be LeBron James. And I'm saying that through humility because I was born with a higher basement. Every kid is different. Teach them to appreciate those differences. A valuable piece of advice. Number 9, one of my favorite lessons of being a parent. The days are long, the years are short. Several of my executives that have been with me for over a decade have had children, and it's so much fun for me to see, because my children were young when I met them. And I used to tell them the days are long and the years are short. Someday is a thief. Childhood is like a banana. Childhood is perishable. It does not last long. It amazes me when I go on a trip and a few days later I come back and the bananas are gone. Oh, brown. Remember that someday is a thief, that postponing the picnic becomes never. Procrastination needs prioritization as an antidote. Presence will ease regret later. Make sure you have a non-negotiable amount of time to change the time when the days are long, because the year is short. I spend a minimum amount of time with my children 7 days a week. I remind, remember, and recollect them to know that I love them, I'm proud of them, and I always have their back. I'm engaged in presence to ask them, did they do their best? Did they learn lessons and have fun with whatever it is that they want to do? Because I don't care. Because I have responded to the reaction of the fear that they're going to get hurt because they aren't going to go to college or aren't going to start a business or aren't going to buy the car that I want them to buy or whatever it may be. I appreciate it. I let them know, look, that here's my questions I have. Here's the suggestions I have. But most importantly, did you do your best? Did you learn lessons? What did you learn? and did you have fun? That will allow the days to be enjoyable. And if they're enjoyable, we love long days that are enjoyable. Even if we know we can't stop the years from the perception of feeling like they're short. The last piece of advice I wish I would have received. Your legacy is their launch pad. Your legacy is your children's launch pad. Parenting is about release, not control. Release them to create their own value. Release them to create their own faith. Release them to love and allow and release that love to outlast your rules, your advice. Equip, don't script. Empower your children to empower others, to empower others. Empower them with values like gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication. Empower them with daily practices like knowing their what, their who they could help and who could help them, their how, their now by prioritizing and being present and applying their why by stopping, dropping, and rolling, stopping the interference between them and where they want to be or better, shortening the distance of resistance with this wisdom and faith. Aim them higher than you. You're not in a competition with your children. It is a thief of joy. Do not put them in competition with anyone but themselves, but aim them higher. Put their divine direction higher than you. Create those values, daily practices, and execution model. Share stories that shape each and every value, practice, and execution. Remind, remember, and recollect them. Be annoying. Be consistent and honest. That's annoying. Great parents are annoying. And I promise you that perfection was never the assignment. Presence is your assignment. The 10 lessons, which I will happily send to everyone, david@dmeltzer.com, along with the values and practices and execution model as well, or any book, just go ahead and email me, david@dmeltzer.com. But these 10 lessons that presence be presence, that you can't outsource love, that patience is the real superpower, that consistency creates safety, model it, don't preach it. Failure is a gift if you frame it right. Your marriage or your relationships that are most relative to you are part of your parenting. Every child is different. Appreciate those differences. The days are long and the years are short, but finally, that your legacy is their launch pad. It is progress, not perfection, because perfection was never the assignment. Presence is. These 10 lessons and simple family cadence you've just learned aren't about controlling the outcome or your children. They're about creating the conditions where character, confidence, and connection can grow. Measure success by the moments you model. Patience when it's least convenient, consistency when life gets loud, and love when nobody's keeping score. Believe that the future will meet you with the answers. Let that belief free you to act with intention today to do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where you want to be. Business come, businesses go. Titles change. But the way you show up as a mom or a dad becomes your children's launchpad. Start small, stay consistent, and lead at home the way you want them to lead the world. This is the advice I wish I would have received to be a better parent. God bless all of you. Remember, everybody, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.